Welcome back to another episode of The Textual Talk, where we talk about all the latest and greatest issues in tech, corporate America, and pop culture. In today's episode, we'll take you on a journey through the complex landscape of privacy concerns, cybersecurity, and the evolution of remote work. Join your hosts, HD and Cyber Shorty, as they explore the implications of companies surveying employees, the integrity of ID verification processes, and the alarming trend of North Korean operatives securing remote contractor roles using stolen U.S. identities. We uncover the legal battles faced by those aiding those operatives and discuss the peculiar behaviors off the scene amongst compromised workers. From deepfake threats to critical hiring verification issues, we'll reveal the best practice companies should adopt to safeguard their operations. As always, HD and Cyber Shorty will sprinkle in their personal experiences, discuss industry trends such as the extension of YouTube Shorts taken on TikTok, and offer career advice for those aspiring to transition into cybersecurity. With insight from real-life stories and expert recommendations, this episode is packed with valuable content for tech enthusiasts and professionals alike. So sit back and relax, and let's get textual. This video is being brought to you by Level Up in Tech. It's Q3 in 2024, but you still have time to get into the cloud. With the quick search for cloud in Indeed, you can see over 44,000 jobs are listed that is related or pertaining to the cloud. Now, that is a lot. But if you're watching this right now, you might be thinking, well, how do I learn the skills to get into the cloud? Well, we got you covered. Level Up in Tech is one of the best, if not the best, program related to getting people into the cloud. At Level Up in Tech, you can learn about server config and troubleshooting, the AWS cloud, infrastructure as code, CI/CD, scripting, containerization, and more. And also, they now also have a new multi-cloud AI engineering program that is dedicated to help you have the latest and greatest skills to help you be marketable in this tech market. They post more testimonials than almost any program that I could think of. Check them out. Now, if you're ready to start your cloud career today, then use the link in my description to go to leveluptech.com/tech so you can start your career. And plus, they'll know that I sent you. But on to the video. All right, that part will be if I probably leave for a Patreon or whatever. Now, we got a lot of, I guess you didn't finish it, so.
Power?
Yeah, you didn't finish that, so.
Yeah, I only got to the part where Tyreek and them was trying to figure out what to do.
So you didn't get far.
They made up, yeah. The siblings, well, they seem like they made up, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't make it far at all. It ended how I thought it would. And
I know it's going to be disappointing, though.
I don't think it's going to be disappointing. I think with what they had to work with, it's fine because you got to think about it. The stars never give them the amount of episodes in a season they really want.
But why? If the show is popping, it doesn't make sense. That doesn't. Why is the show even being canceled?
Money. I don't think it's actually being canceled. I think they're going to probably eventually, slowly but surely,
pick it back up somewhere
else. Go to the old format.
What is that old?
Because they could put more money into it if they don't have so many spinoffs.
What do you mean the old format?
It was, remember, it used to be one power. It wasn't
power, this, ghost, power, force.
That. Yeah, so I think they're going to go back into that. And while that's happening, you know, 50 years building up his stuff, so he'll be able to.
He need to call Tyler Perry.
He already been.
He need to call Tyler.
He said, Tyler, like, why his stuff ain't done? Like, if you want to film some, he'll try to probably film in Atlanta.
Because
speaking of, another show that's back on is Zatima. Do you watch Zatima?
No.
With Lou Duvall. Not Lou Duvall. What's his name? Duvall
Ellis.
Is
that on FX?
No. BT.
Nope.
BT Plus.
But BT Plus been having some good stuff lately.
Yeah. So, like, Zatima is like a spinoff in its own freaking verse of Sisters. Like, Sisters start everything.
I started Sisters and I stopped.
Yeah, it's like Sisters, All the Queen's Men.
I started that too.
Zatima and Bruh. But Bruh is like the.
No, I heard Bruh was really good.
Bruh is trash.
What? That's what the comedian do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watch Bruh just to watch it, but it's trash. Like, the situations that happen in it aren't believable. That's the reason why, like, I was trying to watch Sisters to figure out what the correlation was with Zach and Fatima, but I can't because it's, like, stupid. I was like, you ain't going to tell me all some of these educated women on this show are this dumb. Like, when I was watching the show.
You ain't seen Waiting to Exhale?
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing.
But I'm saying, like, I like shows that got character progression.
Me too. Like, Leon by Snowfall. Love him. Love him. Hey. He's my favorite character. I'm not even lying. He grew on me because he was so thug, and then he just got so tender. I love that. I love that.
Teach me how to scrabble.
And then even just like the last episode, him still having such a big role in the last episode, as because he made it out. Franklin,
I don't like how to, I don't like how to end it. I feel like
I don't. He didn't have to be down that bad.
He did have to be down bad. His mama broke him,
but he
didn't
have to be down that bad.
I think he was though. Yeah, think about it. You don't know how much money he.
Well, I'm saying I didn't like to see him. I understand why he was down that bad, but I didn't like that he was down like that.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody did for sure.
His mom was. She was stank. She was stank for that. She was stank.
Man, she already knew that man killed her husband. I don't know why she was acting
like you could have just let him get that little money. Wasn't gonna stop nothing.
What else did I watched recently? Cause so my thing is, me and Josh, like we so in sync, like for real, like Josh wake around like 2 or 3. That's when he get about it. He go back to sleep. He wake up again around like 7:30, and, we be in sync. So a lot of times when I feed him, I put it on a show to watch. So, do you watch Reasonable Doubt?
Okay, everybody been talking about it. I've started it, but honestly, I couldn't tell you anything every time. It be on, and I be doing something else. Yeah. I didn't sit down and pay attention, but everybody has been telling me I need to watch it. They said it's like Mary Jane, being Mary Jane.
I didn't watch that show.
So that was good.
I couldn't tell you that. I felt like being Mary Jane was a woman show.
It kind of was. For me back then,
so that's why I didn't watch it.
It kind of was.
This show kind of cool because, like, she's a lawyer, her husband. It's a video game designer, so like as a software like engineer, and it got elements of like Lincoln Lawyer, Our Kind of People. Did you ever watch Our Kind of People?
Nope.
It was on Hulu. It only had one season, but it was a really good show. It was like
black people, right?
Yeah, these black elite people, in either in the Hamptons or something. What else have I been watching? I caught up on Invincible. I recently watched Problem Child 1 and 2.
I just finished watching House of Dragon, season 1 and 2. Very, 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 very disappointed in season 2. I felt like it was a waste of my time. I feel like they dragged the season on for no reason, doing nothing. There was no reason that battle couldn't have happened in season 2. Why was we on episode 8 and the battle still ain't happened? And it started on the last season, the last episode. So I'm disappointed. And I know what's going to happen next because,
And then I'm trying to see if I finished Emperor of Ocean Park, which, if it's one I'm going to tell you to watch, is that one.
That's on
MGM Plus Prime.
Do you watch From?
I need to.
It's so
good. You know what I started watching?
What?
I watched like 2 or 3 episodes. Claws.
Claws with a K.
I think it's with a K. What's her name? Niecy Nash or whatever her name is?
I like her.
Yeah, so I started watching that. It's different. So it's just something to be on. And yeah, but like the really ones I watch every week is like Reasonable Doubt and of course now Power's Gone. But Zatima's back, so that'll fill that void every week of seeing what new episodes they can put out for Zatima. And then I don't know. There might be like some other stuff that may be coming out. It's hard to keep up with everything.
I like people that are detached from reality, like 90 days. Like, what is it? Love After Lockup, Life After Lockup. You can find me over there. They are outrageous. It's insane. Like, there's no way that any of that's scripted. No way.
We need to find another Never Ever Met. They need to bring that show back.
They do. But with some people who go make us believe in them. Did you watch the other one? What was the other one? Where the couples both came there and they wasn't really on good terms.
Oh, you talking about like they like the family come in and they try to like talk to them, see if they're gonna stay
married. I do like that one too. That one is off the chain. Mm-hmm. Oh, that one's called Family or Fiance, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see. And before we like get into it, then we should have probably asked about like I guess people's days and what they've been up to. As y'all can see, she's looking a little festive today.
Gotta know it. Happy Halloween.
I just threw some on, you know what I'm saying? Really, really what I want to wear didn't come out right. When I was looking in the mirror, I said, I'm good. I'll figure it out next time. And I've just been counting down the days because now I got to go back to work next week.
How you feel?
I don't really want to go back.
I already know.
Yeah, I go back Tuesday, so I'm like, bro, really?
Yeah.
And I think,
Oh, yeah. And then this is super random. But this is like a PSA, like the parents. But like, I didn't even tell y'all, but we had gotten the wreck Sunday. Stand still traffic. Little white kid must have been texting or something, looking down.
I know y'all was concerned with the kids. What?
Well, they happened to be asleep. So, you know, Sunday, we took the girls to the Cheeky Monkey. And Marquise and Chelsea actually met us there. So that actually made it pretty cool. Then after that, where did I take them? I think we had the birthday cake and then.
They was wore out.
Yeah, they was asleep. But the thing is, like, I'm always on my oldest daughter, Natalie. I'm like, your seatbelt on the right way. And so luckily it was sleep she had. So that's really the main thing I was worried about. And but it was just weird because it's like, I just was like telling her, hey, make sure you had this on right or whatever. Yeah. But it's hard to explain that to a 4-year-old on top of like a 4-year-old that's on the spectrum. So it's like the way I got her to, crazy enough, she's so visual in her learning, it always works. She has this other baby doll. And so I guess the other day when Zelly and her mom were using the car, Zelly put the baby doll, strapped it into the seat. So when I picked Natalie up from school today, I said, hey, you see the baby doll had their seatbelt on, right? And she looked at it, so she didn't mess with hers. And then by that time, she's always asleep like 5 minutes once we leave from school. So this is a reminder because when that happened, literally, I want to say last week or something like that, back in my hometown, either a man was intoxicated or something, but he got in a wreck. One of his kids got hurt, and then one of the other ones, I think, died because they was improperly seated. It was like 5 years old.
But do you know how many people don't put their child in the seatbelt, yeah, or they just throw them in the car seat and they don't strap them up, or they'll just strap up this part but not between their legs? I don't play that. If you a kid and you getting in my car, you putting on that seatbelt. They ain't getting in my car without no car seat. I'm not doing it. I don't even want that pressure on my heart. And Dallas is crazy. The traffic.
Yeah, people can't drive. Mm-hmm. Like, not only that is, we always think about, like, why did I get married to a Gavin and his wife? Like, how just, all you got to do is, like, some people be such in a rush. Like, you just got to slow down sometimes.
You definitely
do. That job, where you going, are important in your kid's life. If you got to pull over and do something to them to make them act right, do it. They'll thank you later.
Yep.
Let me see. I don't even know what episode it is. I don't know. I have it on a thing, but let me intro the pod real quick. Welcome back to the Textual Talk Podcast. I'm your host, HD, and we got
your girl, Shy Shorty, in the house.
And we back to give y'all some more of this weekly tea. That might be a segment. We have stuff called Weekly Tea. But if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you know what to do. Follow the podcast. Share it out so we can get them downloads up because y'all slack on the downloads, and I'm going to need y'all to get it up. But, and also, if y'all watching us on YouTube, like, subscribe, hit the bell icon to be notified when we're dropping all content. And while I'm at it, put in the comments below, do you want me to start memberships on the YouTube channel? Because I've been playing around, like, do I want to do the membership option on YouTube as well as Patreon, or what do I want to do? So y'all let me know if y'all would prefer to have it, like, in one spot, and then if y'all say yay, then we'll go that way. But we got, like, a lot of different topics. I don't know all we're going to get into. It's a lot of different things, and I'm trying to see if you got the more interesting ones. I guess this is a cool one that we both could talk about because it always comes full circle.
Yeah.
And we could just make it general. But a lot of you probably got a letter in the mail probably like last week or something from Change Healthcare.
I sure did.
And mind you,
it happened in February.
Destiny and I, yeah, we talked about this a long time ago. Now, having said all that, I didn't even look through it because I was like, this BS. I was like,
I never looked through it, but today I did.
Okay, what was in it?
Trash, nothing. The weakest summary you could ever give out, like the weakest excuse you could ever give people. Someone broke into our systems without our permission, and we called law enforcement. Here's 2 years of credit monitoring. We're sorry, is basically what it said. They didn't really give you any context. It's September, so they know what happened. And I feel like because they know what happened, they ought to give you more context than what they gave you. Like, you can Google and find more information about what actually happened than they provided. Someone broke into our systems and we call law enforcement is crazy because what is law enforcement going to do for you? What are they going to do? They can't even investigate the technical cases that are in their states and cities. So what are they going to do to help you? Why did you tell us that? Just like getting in trouble and say, I'm going to call your mom. Like, okay. Okay. I told my mom that this is what happened. Okay.
So AI gave me an overview of all this stuff because I was trying to find what you were talking about. So it said, so far, as of September 30th, Change Healthcare has identified at least 500 individuals as affected by the breach. However, the total number of affected individuals is still being determined.
500.
Yeah, I think this is off. I think that's way off. Then I think there's something about they started sending the notifications to affected individuals and all this other BS stuff. But y'all know how I get down. I tell y'all all the time, the link is in the description. If you don't want to wait on us to tell you about, hey, there was a compromise and your data might be out there, just go ahead and use Aura. Simply because they use AI to help you out and beat them to the punch. So they be before a lot of the big breaches happen, and they're 24/7. They're going to notify you of everything that's happening on your account in the dark web, and so it can keep you safe. And they got a password manager, VPN, you name it. So check it out. Use the code in the description, r.com/textualchatter, to get your 14-day trial of R and see if your data's on the dark web.
And I just want to quickly recap what happened. So Change Healthcare was breached because someone compromised a account that did not have MFA enabled. Mm-hmm. Now, with that, they paid the ransom. So it was ransomware. They paid $22 million and they did not get the data back. And that just goes to show what the guidance is that you shouldn't pay ransomware, or you shouldn't pay the ransom, because you're not likely, there's no guarantee you're going to get the money back. So they just got hit with a double whammy and a finesse. And yeah. And then the government got mad because so many people were affected. So the government was like, hey, I got your back. I'm going to put $10 million on their head. If y'all can give me information about who did this, we got $10 million for you.
Yeah. And too bad she has not finished Power, because this would have been the perfect time to make a correlation with what she just said.
On your head, $10 million on your head?
No, about the ransom. So she's going to get it whenever she finishes it. But I had, like, a lot of, like, good articles, and I think one of the ones that would be cool to talk about is the fake IT workers. We've been seeing the articles that's been happening back and forth about, I think it's what, North Korean people trick people to hire them? Yeah, like, for example, so I got the article right here. It says, dozen of Fortune 100 companies have unwittingly hired North Korean IT workers, according to a report. And it says, I'm not going to read everything, but it says, it's difficult to imagine a bigger hiring blunder. Google said it has been contacted by several major U.S. companies recently who discovered that they unknowingly hired North Koreans using fake identities for remote IT roles. In a report published Monday by the company Mandiant, researchers described the common scheme orchestrated by the group it tracks as UNC 5267, which has been active since 2018. In most cases, the IT workers consist of individuals sent by the North Korean government to live primarily in China and Russia, with smaller numbers in Africa and Southeast Asia. The goal is for the workers to earn salaries at multiple companies, generating revenue for North Korean government, and to gain pivotal access to U.S. tech firms that can be used for further cyber attacks or intrusions. The remote workers often gain elevated access to modify code and administer network systems. Many have found warning of the downstream effects of allowing malicious actors into a company's inner sanctum. Now, I'm going to pause right there, because this is actually pretty interesting, because this goes back into all the yappers and the comments about jobs just going overseas. And this is always one of the things that people are thinking about. And there have been other talks about, you found out the overseas jobs are selling U.S. information. So eventually, I don't know what crossroads they're going to get at, but it's probably going to be where more jobs will be over here. And these are other reasons I also believe why people are having to return to office, because of stuff like this. I know, fun fact, when I recorded an episode with one of my past clients the other week, and he was telling me about one of his first incidents witnessing within like week one or two on a job, was they found somebody who was a fake worker. So they messed up and they logged in from somewhere they weren't supposed to log into.
The ghetto. It's ghetto. It's just ghetto, period. If you think about it from a national security perspective, it's terrifying. Yeah. It's terrifying that you got people from Russia. You know they don't like us over here. You got people that's working in Russia giving the allegedly giving their government intel or even just access, money, all types of things that they don't need to have in order to keep us safe here. Is I don't know what needs to happen, but that's something that they have to take a bit more serious.
Yeah, it's so I know like 3 years ago when this thing was going on, it would be people that it'd be actual people. So like say for instance, I interview for the job, but Destiny was the one doing the work for me day to day. So people used to do like that.
Yep. I've seen that, but I don't.
Yeah, but what happens with some of the people was the people that passed the interview, the same people who were doing the job couldn't do the job. So
exactly,
this is pretty tricky. Don't be surprised that, and this is why if you want to be smart, just go ahead whenever you're working from home on a company device, put some over your camera, because. You won't be surprised what they'd be looking at trying to see if, like, what you're doing and who's who. Are you the person that they hired? So I think that's what one of the things they're going to get into. I want to see some more.
I've been hearing that some companies are, let's say you get locked out of your, you know, account and you have to call help desk or whatever. They're requiring them to turn their camera on and show their ID in the camera, which it could be a fake. So, yeah.
It's so many, like, don't even get me started.
And then what if the person that's supposed to be verifying you is not taking that role seriously, you know?
Not only that, they just haven't been trained accordingly. Like I said, one of the things that attackers do, if they get access to your account, they compromise your account. If they know the help desk number, they'll call back in and just pry and get information and see how they can get MFA on their device.
Yep.
Versus
get it enabled on that new device or adding mm-hmm. a new device under that user's profile. Yep.
Yeah, so that's one of the things where there should be other things. Like, yeah, if you compromise me, cool. But if you don't know my alias, like my SSO or something like that, you like shouldn't be able to log in.
I'm team alias. I think that should be something that's implemented within companies.
Yeah, I think most companies have it, the smart ones. Some people don't know anything about it. They just getting started up. Let's see. This says caffeine and serial numbers. Using stolen identities or fictitious ones, the actors are generally hired as remote contractors. Mandiant has seen the workers hired in a variety of complex roles across several sectors. Some workers are employed at multiple companies, bringing in several salaries each month. The tactic is facilitated by someone based in the U.S. who runs a laptop farm where workers' laptops are sent. Remote technology is installed on a laptop, allowing the North Koreans to log in and conduct their work from China or Russia.
They're not playing. They got it figured out.
The Justice Department in recent months has arrested and charged several U.S. citizens for running these laptop forms, and in one instance found an American that used 60 stolen identities to facilitate North Korean employment at more than 300 U.S. companies. So we can pause right there. We just talked about the Change Healthcare breach, and then last podcast episode we talked about the Avis Car breach, and then you probably saw in the ad integration I talked about those Social Security numbers that were stolen. So when people are paying for them things on the dark web and now they're trying to impersonate you and now something wrong with your taxes because like, hey, I ain't work here.
Yeah, and you saying, and when you found out initially, you said you didn't care, mm-hmm. right? You said your credit was already bad, so it didn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, they filled out a W-4 acting like they you. Oh, now you can't even get your state benefits. They saying you make too much. Man, look, it's a grimy game.
It definitely is.
That's crazy. The workers earned at least $6.8 million from October 2020 to October 2023. Workers typically ask for their work laptops to be sent to different addresses than those listed on their resumes, raising the suspicions of companies. Mandiant said it found evidence that the laptops at these forums are connected to a keyboard, video, mouse device, or multiple remote management tools, including LogMeIn, GoToMeeting, Chrome Remote Desktop, AnyDesk Team Viewer, and others. Feedback from team members and managers who spoke with Mandiant during investigations consistently highlighted behavior patterns such as reluctancy to engage in video communications and below average work quality exhibited by DPRK IT worker remotely operating the laptops. Exactly, because you can't do good work if you're working seven jobs at one time. It's impossible.
It's them not wanting to come on camera for me.
They should have been fired from then.
Yeah, because what you mean? Turn the camera on. We said turn it on.
Now, if they were smart, they would get like a little AI person. That's what's going to go to.
That's scary to think you in the meeting talking to someone.
Imagine and somebody, because you know, person. Like, they got deep fakes. So imagine somebody was deep faking as you.
And they look good. They look good.
And they heard your voice enough, so they clone your voice. So now it's you. They're talking through the thing, but it sounds like it's you.
Yep. That's what happened in that one incident that happened in Hong Kong where they paid $25 million.
Yep. Let's see. In several incident response engagements, Mandy had found the workers used the same resumes that had links to fabricated software engineer profiles hosted on Netlify, a platform often used for quickly creating and deploying websites. Many of the resumes and profiles included poor English and other clues indicating the actor was not based in the U.S. I'm going to say this is a hunch, but also the company's got to be held accountable for hiring these people because y'all probably was able to hire these people because the salary wasn't that high. So that's why they took so many at once. Yep. And this is y'all get for being cheap. Pay people what they want to be paid, what's market value, and you're not going to run into this. One characteristic repeatedly seen was a use of U.S.-based addresses accompanied by education credentials from universities outside of North America, frequently in countries as such as Singapore, Japan, or Hong Kong. Companies, according to many, typically don't verify credentials from universities overseas. See, this is kind of smart. This is,
but why not? Because it's probably too difficult of a process, and probably don't even know what there are legalities around some of that stuff. So, yeah.
And I wish I would have known. I wish I would have looked into this deeper when I did the episode with, I don't want to give her government name out, but Humbly Chic, because she does HR. And we were talking about verifying your work history and your degree because, hang on a second. This is actually a use case for insider risk.
For sure. This is insider risk. This is purview.
So this is interesting. I'm pretty sure now, and this is something. Hey, guys, look, this is why I like doing this stuff, because I always think about stuff I can do in the interview when they ask me about different things. I could talk about this and say, hey, you know, I know it's a remote company. Do you guys have anybody that's working remotely from the United States, but it says they graduated from overseas or something? Have you guys, like, looked into that? Like, how you're looking, like, insider threat, looking for stuff like that? It's just a conversation. Maybe nobody else brought it up. It's going to make me seem, like, a little different.
Yeah.
That's all. So Mandy urged companies to conduct more stringent background checks, require on-camera interviews, require notarized proof of identity, and verify that the laptop location matches the worker's address. Companies also should consider monitoring and banning the use of remote administration tools, VPN tools, and mouse-jiggling software like Caffeine. One trick Mandy suggested is asking workers to say the laptop serial number out loud during IT onboarding as a test. That's a good one.
That's definitely a good one.
Mandy and principal analyst Michael Barnhart said his biggest concern is what happens when workers have been hired long enough that they could launch wide-scale attacks on the organization. These IT workers could easily receive instructions tomorrow to deploy ransomware and simultaneously disable major organizations all over the U.S. and Europe very quickly if they wanted to. Previous advisories from U.S. law enforcement agencies have said some of the workers earn up to $300,000 annually, collectively generating hundreds of millions for the North Korean regiment and its weapons program. Several law enforcement agencies launched an initiative in March 2024 designed to shutter the U.S. laptop farms. Man, hey, they need to make documentaries on that, like finding the laptop farms and shutting them down.
That would definitely be good.
That's like, hey, listen, if you steal the idea, I don't care. Just give me a piece of the money. So we already have the people, scammer, payback, and all them guys. You know, they're getting the scammers, the fake help desk, and you know how they've been scamming people. We need those same people to make content on the laptop forums.
I would watch it. I would watch it too. Even if I was sleepy, I'd be prying my eyes open to get to the end of that.
And there was another article that Manny had. I'm going to look through it real quick, see if it's anything different that they said to help people detect this stuff. So I'm skimming over it real quick. So let's see. Mandy has identified evidence that these laptops are often connected to an IP-based KVM switch. Although a recurring theme across these incidents is the installation of multiple remote tools. So that's on the other.
But why are they even allowed to install remote tools in the first place?
They shouldn't be able to.
Like, let's start there. Who are they working at that's allowing them to do that?
They shouldn't be able to.
You download certain stuff on your work computer, you should immediately be contacted or blocked. Your access should be blocked. For example, Kali Linux.
Well, if actually, download, it shouldn't even let them download it.
If you were to try to download Kali Linux and you're not a pen tester, what you need, your access needs to be revoked until you have some conversations to figure. Was that you?
So I wouldn't say necessarily just revoke it, because that could be jumping the gun, but it would immediately trigger some type of DLP event.
And immediately. Like,
this person, what are they trying to do? I'm trying to test whatever. And then you'll say, well, we got, Pluralsight and other stuff like that. Don't download it on my work computer. But the thing is, to even mitigate that, IT has to, when they image these devices, there are certain things that you cannot download from the internet. And then even if you can download them, they must require admin approval, but you have to call into the help desk so they install it. And there's going to be stuff that say, hey, we can't install. You got to get what's the thing called? You got to ask your manager or something about it. And then they say they can install that. So I blame the companies for lack of controls.
Same, especially with the downloading of tools. We know what mouse jiggling software looks like. Why are you even allowing that to be?
Yeah. Well, if you're smart, you don't plug it into your computer. You use a mouse jiggler that's not connected to your computer. So if
they aren't.
I know.
At all.
I'm trying to see what the person doing the laptop for him has to be making a lot of money, though.
And has to be very smart.
Yeah, and I think, see, that's tough, too, because then that separation of, like, with the ISP and all that stuff. But then I think even the ISP, I'm trying to see if the laptop form, is it labeling itself as an actual business? So it looks like they got workers connected to all these different things from one location
that
or what?
That is a good question. I didn't even think about that.
So, I mean, it's pretty cool. Like, it's crazy how much fun it is to be a thief. But let me see. I know you had this.
Which one?
What about this? To either the Catch a Predator or the ChatGPT one you got?
I want to do the Catch a Predator one because I love the kids and I don't play about the kids. And more people need to take security seriously when it comes to their children. So the title of this article is To Catch a Predator Admin, The Power of OSINT. So there was a group designed to attract men and women with the same vile mindset. Among the many threads, a user named Joe Hayes shared a link to his private WhatsApp community. It was a thread amid a tangled yarn, and CR2 decided to follow on it to see where it landed. What she discovered was among some of the worst she had ever encountered. So CSAM stands for Child Sexual Abuse Material. So if you hear that acronym, that's what it's referencing. So upon following the link, CR2 knew she had stumbled upon a CSAM marketplace where Joe Hayes was its admin operating under the alias Funny Uncle, nasty and disgusting. But where secrecy and money were his primary currencies, he wasn't particularly savvy at maintaining an anonymous online presence. The more CR2 looked into his online behaviors, it became apparent that his OPSEC was terrible. And for that, we were glad. Furthermore, the man was cocky and boasted openly about his illicit exploits. On the popular messaging platform WhatsApp, users' phone numbers are only visible to community admins and to other users who have saved you as a contact. CR2 then began adding users to the profile she uses for investigations. This allowed her to uncover the phone numbers of over a dozen users engaged in this underground marketplace. Suddenly, our investigation was disrupted after an unknown cyber vigilant hiding in Funny Uncle's community posted a comment that unmasked their role and reason for being there. It was then that Funny Uncle immediately closed the community down and moved his marketplace elsewhere. Unfortunately, this happens all the time, and it's extremely destructive of other investigation initiatives. Whenever a hunter deliberately alerts the enemy to raise red flags, or whether someone from within their own community alerts the admin and other members that they are subject of an investigation, the end results are the same. Let me see. So they do say that they notify law enforcement. They didn't really take it serious. Let's see. As our investigation came to a close, we knew everything about Joseph Hayes. He was divorced with a young daughter between them. We knew he operated on Telegram and the dark web. We knew which groups he ran and how he obtained the marketplace for the content for the marketplace for distribution. This person who's writing this says, I'm a former black hat computer hacker and spent 11 years in prison for hacking. I have good reason not to trust law enforcement, but for this, I set my differences aside. There are no repercussions unless law enforcement themselves are leading the investigation. And since we're not FBI agents, our reports are just tossed into the queue while we hopefully await for triage for the severity of our reports. When you see the very child predators you reported a year ago continue to operate undisturbed, you have every reason to believe that the reporting system is ineffective. And that's kind of where it talks about. But I just think it's important for people to be aware that this type of stuff is going on. It's not talked about. You never hear people talking about this because no one wants to talk about it. But it's so prevalent. It's so popular. And if you know how to access the dark web, then you can get to this type of stuff. And you just need to be aware of the stuff that you're putting out. It doesn't have to be someone, you know, physically recorded a child. It could be you posted some pictures of your child and they stole them. And now that is what is being passed around. It doesn't necessarily have to be what we typically think it's going to be. It's some of the stuff that we as people are putting out that we're not being mindful of, like putting images out of your child with no clothes on. Like you don't, there are creeps out here. There are literal creeps out here. You can't do that anymore. Putting pictures of your kids with bathing suits on. Yeah. As a parent, that's not anything that you're thinking about, but to the creeps.
Yeah.
That's something that's on their mind. That's content that they can use to further their, you know, disgusting behavior. So I just want people to be mindful of the things that they're putting out on social media as it pertains to their kids. You got to keep your child protected.
Yeah, I rarely don't post the girls. And, like, I had posted, Natalie pushed me down the slide the other day, and one person on my story comments like, I know you had kids. I was like, yeah, I'm kind of real. I said, I'm kind of iffy about posting this because weirdos on here. So same. I was like, I normally, like, post them more in, like, the private story and stuff. Because there aren't any weirdos there. But while you were talking about that, I thought about, you know, Instagram has enforced the teen accounts.
Yes.
For yep. that.
I think, did TikTok do it too or no?
I don't know.
Or maybe
know.
It was just Instagram. I did hear about this, though.
I know they said, let's see, Instagram, this is 2 weeks ago, on Tuesday announced its most dramatic effort yet to protect young users from the dangers on this platform, implementing new teen account settings that will automatically make millions of teen accounts private and restrict what kind of content those users can view on the app. The change to how Instagram lets teens use its platforms come nearly 3 years after disposal of Facebook papers first drew mass attention to the risk the platform posed for young users. My question is, though, and I haven't read further, how do they know the people online about their age?
That's when I first started getting on social media, it was a lie. I wasn't old enough to be on there. Yes.
The new restrictions are also designed to push teens to adopt parental supervision through the app. Instagram will automatically apply the new teen account settings to all users under the age of 18 after the update. 16 and 17-year-old users will be able to manually change the app back to their preferred settings, but 13 to 15-year-old users. First of all, those kids don't, unless like you're a child star, you don't even really need an Instagram.
Why are you even on Instagram?
It's too much access.
It's a lot of stuff going on Instagram. A lot.
So it ain't as bad as X, though.
X is off the chain. But I don't feel like the new kids are... They're on TikTok. I don't think they really are on X like our generation is on X.
Now, what's funny is, surprisingly, as much slack that TikTok gets, it's not as bad as X.
It's absolutely not. X is off the chain, for sure. And TikTok is doing some censoring of the content. I don't know what's going on with the censor at X.
Ain't no censor. It's not a censor. That's why people still like love it for someone else. But it's still stuff that you get censored on. But you're right, though. It's not a lot of people that talk about keeping the kids safe. It's that, and you got to understand this, too, how many people actually understand the internet. When we were coming up, we were outsmarting our parents when it came to using the internet.
We were, for sure.
So it was like they didn't know how to – my mama didn't know how to use MySpace and stuff like that. Yep. Like, they were so terrified when I had a MySpace, they literally, like, got mad at me for having it.
But what? Like, you too? My mom printed my – some. I don't know who – I think my granddad told my mom – and my mom printed out the page. She printed the page out and brought it home. Like, oh, this is what you're doing. And it wasn't even nothing bad on there. I wasn't, you know, cussing, acting crazy. It wasn't crazy pictures, but it was the fact that I was, it was for grown people. It wasn't, for, I was in elementary school. I was in like sixth grade.
For real?
Yes.
Now me, I didn't get MySpace till ninth grade.
Well, you're older than me, so yeah.
I ain't that much older.
You're not, but I'm. You were older.
Yeah, but I was, even then, yeah. They didn't really understand it per se. So they like, that's the thing that they messed up on. And this is how you can lose your kids. Before just fussing at them, try to understand why they are using it and what's the reasoning behind it before you think they're just like
doing mischievous stuff,
jumping to being scared for them. Because that's how it was. Like, just making sure, like, myself, look, I'm talking to people my age. I've seen it.
Actually, I wasn't talking on MySpace. I wasn't talking to nobody that I didn't know. Like, that was where all my classmates and friends were at. Now, when you start talking about other websites, Black Planet and other things like that.
On MySpace, I was definitely getting active. Like, we was talking to people from California, Vegas.
I wasn't, but on other sites, I was. But now that I'm grown and older, and I know what I was doing, and I know how much more crazier things are, I'm not going for that.
Well, yeah, you know, now, I mean, the good thing about the home routers and stuff,
It lets you know,
and you can block like a lot of stuff. So in order for them to mitigate that, they would have to go through and pretty much figure out my code to get in that thing and block it. And so
blacklist those sites. Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, it's blocklist.
Blacklist.
Yeah, because you know they're trying to do away with the term whitelist, blacklist. Yeah. Because it's like inherently, hey, why the blacklist bad? Why the whitelist good?
Yeah.
So that's why you say allow list, blocklist.
TikTok one day and came across this story. It was a story time of this black girl talking about, like, she basically breaks down like cases about children that people don't know about because that they're not talked about. And this was like the largest, this man had, he was from Australia. He had like, I can't even remember his name, but he had like the largest child trafficking situation, website, content, all, he had the worst case of it going on. And it took them years. It took them over 10 years to figure out who this man was. It took them over 10 years. But that made me dive into watching the actual story and watching him being interviewed because I felt like this stuff is prevalent. Even though it's not talked about, doesn't mean I shouldn't be aware of what's going on and stuff like that. So I'm into the stuff that makes us uncomfortable because it's actually really going on.
I'm always leery of parents on the first day of school. Posting what school your kid goes to.
Posting the thing that show what school they go to, what teacher.
And all that stuff. Yes. Like,
pictures outside the school where we can see the name. I get it. Send that to your family. Put that in the family group chat. Don't post it on Facebook. Don't post it on Instagram. Yeah,
at least let the, like, when the kid's older, it's a little bit different. But when they're young, you just never know. Like I said, we can go hours on that. And that may be something to actually look up into kid things. So my next topics kind of go hand-in-hand with each other. One of the ones I want to talk about is I came across this post the other day. Somebody tagged me in. And I'm going to find it. It's on LinkedIn because I actually talked to the young man, but I already know what his issue is. It stems also from
my Twitter thing. Was that the guy who said, the banner thing? Yeah, yep.
So I'm going to read this post, and then I'm going to break down why you shouldn't do this and why it looks crazy. And how it tied into my WGU video. Our conversation. He says, I'm now forced to switch to the dying banner. Let's be honest. We were desperate months ago. We are dying now more than ever for a change. Dying to make a decent wage. Dying to buy a home. Dying to feed our families. Being poor my entire life, having the last name die. Dying is my natural state. My post went viral and got seen by over 500K. And I still don't have a job. Where does that leave regular people? I can tell you why no one has a job anymore. Too many interviews, no communication, too many requirements, and too many applicants. The open to work banner is not working. That means it is almost impossible for everyday people to get jobs right now. Shout out to Courtney for the original desperate post. I know you are dying too. So take my dying banner and how the world, how you feel. He meant to say show the world how you really feel.
So that's not the one I was talking about. I must be thinking about the other one.
Oh, if you can find it, I mean, you know, by all means. So,
but, it's the same concept.
He got 777 likes, 154 comments. So after this, somebody commented this and that, and if he's in our area. So I probably will not put this post up. I don't want, like, I mean, if he ever responds to me, We had a conversation. I asked him, hey, what type of roles have you been applying to? He said, cybersecurity analyst, penetration tester, network engineer, system admin. I said, that's too broad.
I was going to say, those are all over the spectrum. What's your resume look like? You got,
it's
you
on
got,
here. We'll look at it in a second. That's too broad, which is one of the main reasons you're having trouble. Out of all those positions, which one do you have the skills to perform the best? He said, pen testing. I said, based on your profile, I don't get penetration testing. Have you performed any of your own pen testing engagements before? He said, I do home labs, and I'm currently working on an OSCP. I bought the PNPT and the PJPT. And I said, have you considered GRC, especially with your QA background? Because he has a background in QA.
On his profile.
Yeah, so yeah. If you look at his profile right here, and this is why y'all pay me to help y'all out, because, yeah, he was a quality assurance manager for a year and 9 months at Fort Worth for Tesla. And I guess now he is doing Turo. Well, he did that from, oh, he was doing that, I think, at the same time. No, he did it from 2021 to 2024.
Doing what?
Turo. So, hold on, what? This,
doing
let's,
what?
Let's get into this. Let's get into this. Let me bring this to you. Hang on. This is crazy. Let me see. Yeah, you're still good on your thing. He says, okay, car rental owner. Grew a car rental business from zero revenue to $30,000 annually by the end of 2023. Becoming one of the top all-star hosts in Dallas, Texas, while pursuing cybersecurity studies. Achieved a five-star rating through the business existence. Demonstrated exceptional service quality. Maintained security and performance of the fleet of vehicles, completing over 200 five-star trips through diligent maintenance and repairs. Conducted OSINT and risk assessments to provide data-driven insights for strategic decisions, including vehicle assessments. Whatever.
What is?
I don't know. So his education. Two WGU degrees.
But no certifications.
No, he got certifications.
He do.
Let me see if he have them listed on here. They're listed right here. But, I mean, his resume is right here, too. So, here's his resume. So, when he says he's applying to all these things, and I'm trying to say, okay, I went and looked at this. So, you got these as your technical skills, but then... when I go through the resume, I don't see the skills being used.
Yeah, in the descriptions.
And you got all these certs on here that don't really mean anything. You got volunteer work, which like the companies don't care about. So I was like,
he needs to expand more on what he's doing here.
Yeah, that's why.
And what he's doing here, he needs to apply that stuff and the certification stuff to make it make more sense. He can actually. I'm not the resume guy, but I can.
Well, it's
look
not
at
even
about
the resume thing. So like,
absolutely remove the volunteer stuff. Yeah, like, that could be on your LinkedIn, but like, yeah. No one cares. Like, if you were to put affiliations, cool, but no.
Yeah. So like, the resume isn't bad, but it just don't have the content it need, and that's why he's dying. He hasn't responded back to me. I'll probably hit him up next week. Just to see how he's doing, and then let me go find my post. People actually did. I had an article for Cups, and I did not. Put it on here. But so, I made a tweet thread. What do you want to call it? I said there's a guy on LinkedIn that got his certs and WGU degree, but hasn't found any work. Even made a LinkedIn banner to show dying. But honestly, the reason he can't find anything is lack of strategy and lack of skills for the roles he's applying to. I said he's trying to jump into pen testing without anything to showcase those skills. He has a QA background. I told him to look into GRC. And then that's when I posted, you know, that video. I said, y'all go check this out. And then other people saw it. And these are all us that have jobs. Shout out to Aria. She was like, seems like a mix of not having the right strategy, missing some key skills for the jobs he's going after. Just having a degree isn't enough. He needs to focus on building up the experience or specific skills employers are looking for. Networking could help, too, connecting with people in the field.
Just like you connected with him and you're able to look
with
really
me.
Quick
I'm trying to,
and look at, you know.
I'm like, if I was looking for a job and a person that got a decade of experience was trying to help me, I would reply back as fast as possible. So stuff like that be letting me know you just don't know, you didn't want to be seen. People have to be reasonable. What current skills do you have and how does it translate to a role you actually qualify for? Get your foot in the door where you can and learn more skills later.
But he probably really thought that he was showcasing that skill set. But that's why you have, that's why it's important to have a community and a network to bounce stuff off of. Because exactly. Your friends will tell you, hey, man, this is crazy. Ain't no way you're trying to be the president and you ain't got no credentials behind it.
Yeah. So, like, so guys, just because you got certs and a resume and degrees, that doesn't mean they're going to hire you. Because I think something he feels about what he the way he's going about it is right. And it's not. Because you can't. He don't have the skills to do all those roles. He should just pick one and go there.
That's what I tell people who, if you have a couple, if you could fit into maybe two categories, you need to have two resumes. You have to. Because they're looking for specific things for a pen tester than they're looking for a security analyst. They are using different tools. That's facts. And it's just that, it's that simple. I can't use a pen tester application. I could probably use a pen testing application to get a security analyst role, but I can't use the opposite. I can't think about how to say that, but I couldn't do the opposite.
What, the security engineer role?
I couldn't use a security analyst resume to get a pen testing role.
Yeah, you couldn't unless you did risk assessments and pen tests and vulnerability management. Nope, you're right. And so this one kind of goes into that one, but it's kind of slightly different. And it was titled, Business Insider says, a millennial has been looking for a tech job for over a year after being laid off. He says AI and being black have worked against him. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole article, but there were some highlight points I thought were pretty interesting to bring up because these are some of the things I've said on videos for years now and why some people are having issues. So his real name is not Jared, but that's his alias. Roughly a year and a half ago, Jared was laid off from his job as a data scientist at a financial services company, despite trying several strategies to make himself more appealing to employers. He's been unable to find work in the tech and finance industries ever since. Jared received severance pay for 3 months and then started collecting unemployment benefits, he told Business Insider via email. But this eventually came to an end. In the state of New York, where he resides, one can only receive unemployment for 26 weeks. Jared, who's in his 30s, said that to save money, he moved his family to a more affordable area in New York to make up for his lost income. He started selling some of his stock market investments, and in recent months, he has begun withdrawing some money from his 401k. He also tried doing some stock market day trading, but since pulled back after losing money. It didn't end well. Who's known, the Business Insider preferred to use a pseudonym because of his concerns about professional repercussions. Jared is among the growing number of Americans who are struggling to find work. While the unemployment rate remains low compared with historical levels, it's ticked up in recent months. And I actually need to find out where those numbers are, because numbers can be skewed, because I refuse to believe unemployment is that low. One of two things, people don't want to work, which I agree to an extent, but some of the jobs pay minimum wage where you can't even live.
Yeah.
And then other stuff is just BS. They just are saying, like, the numbers are low, but they're not really low. It's all a facade. And the people who are looking for jobs, whether it be because they were laid off, have just graduated from college, or are returning to the workforce, are having a harder time finding employment than they did a few years ago when job openings were at record levels. It's because businesses across the U.S. economy have been significantly pulled back on hiring. Monthly hires as a share of overall employment levels have been hovering at lows not seen in a decade. Excluding a temporary dip in 2020, the ratio of job openings to unemployed people, an indicator of job availability, has declined considerably over the past 2 years.
Where are they getting that data from?
Labor statistics via Fred. So, yeah, so they did cite the source for that one. What's more, hiring on LinkedIn was down in July compared with the prior years in 19 to 20 industries. Jared said the top strategies he's used to boost his chances in today's job market. So he said there could be some discrimination during the hiring process. He thought several factors could help him explain why his job hunt has been particularly difficult. First, he pointed to the challenging job market, particularly in the tech, finance, and consulting industries where he'd largely been applying. He said the tech industry has been the primary focus.
You need to look at another industry.
Thank you.
What? The first thing that came to my head was the medical field. Why not? You're still doing tech. You're still doing cyber. You're still helping protect and, you know.
He's a data scientist.
Even better.
Yeah.
Even better, all that data they got.
Man, all the companies are looking for it. And here's a look, if you are a data scientist, I got a friend that's a he's a, either a data engineer or data scientist.
What is a data scientist? What?
Let's ask Siri. Hey, Siri. I can't hear me on here. A scientist of data?
Me. I'm asking ChatGPT. So.
They work together with analysts and business to convert data insights into action. They make diagrams, graphs, and charts that represent trends and predictions. Data summarization helps stakeholders understand and implement results effectively.
Statistics, programming, and domain expertise to extract valuable insights from structured and unstructured data. So they work with tools like machine learning, algorithms, predictive models, data visualization. Count me out. But dope, very dope.
No, that one of those ideas, JP Morgan, it literally, like, if you're good at, like, manipulating data and telling a story with SQL and Power BI, easy security job. Because that's what they really want, those insights.
That's what the cyber intelligence degree at UD, it's heavy on the data analytics and stuff.
Nice. So he says some companies in these sectors have laid off workers and cut back hiring, resulting in more competition for fewer roles. Jared said he also thought the adoption of AI had allowed some companies to operate a little leaner with fewer employees. He said that in addition to competing with other laid off workers, he's had to compete with new entrants to the workforce from top schools. He also said having a graduate degree, which he doesn't have, seemed to be getting more important. And that's a thing I want to talk about too. When you are black, I actually agree with that notion of that graduate degree helping you stand out in your job search a lot of times when you're going against a lot of people, especially for higher
roles. I've always felt that way. And no one can make me feel differently. I've always felt that way. I feel like it's helped it, depending on what it's in, but it does help you stand out a bit more. Because now it's like, okay, well, that person put in the time and the effort to get that done. It's a commitment. It's showing. It's not just showing that you got the credentials. It's showing, you know, your grit. Grad school is hard.
Yeah. So I agree, like, because it's one of the things, like, I was talking about with the HR expert, how if you have all these credentials, when you got your master's and a couple of certs experience, then your leverage and negotiation power during the offer stage is higher sometimes because they can check you based on what everybody else got and say, okay, we can offer him this. He said a lot of roles now require advanced graduate degrees, and even if they don't, those are people competing for these roles now. As a black man, Jared said he thought it was likely that he also faced some discrimination on a job hunt. And this is the biggest part I want to touch on. He said, in 2020, everybody wanted to hire me because I was black. He said, pointing to diverse hiring initiatives rolled out in the corporate world following the murder of George Floyd. I wonder if other people of color hired during the 2020 hiring spree were also laid off in the last year or so, too. I want to bring this up because I've talked about over the years that the hiring that took place in late 2020, 2021, and a little bit in 2022 does not exist anymore because companies were making a lot of money and they were hiring a lot of people to just be hired and they weren't doing work, especially at some of the big tech companies. You have people from Meta saying, hey, they only hired us because they didn't want the competitors to get us, but they weren't doing work. A lot of them weren't qualified. Despite some progress in recent decades, black men are still less likely to be working than white, Asian, and Hispanic Latino men. As of July, about 81% of black men between the ages of 25 and 54 were working. The other three groups were all between 87.5% and 89.5%. Jared said he also suspected that being a black man had sometimes worked against him doing job interviews. Between finance and tech, most of my interviewers are Asian or white, he said, adding, I do feel like there are a lot of prejudices working against me, but there's nothing I can do to change the way the world works. And I feel like that sometimes, too. Like, to where I've looked at that some stuff, and people was laughing in the comments last time when I said, I can't even get the logic of J. Cole in the panel.
Yeah.
Because it's not intimidating or anything, but... I will say sometimes maybe that those biases are there and maybe your diversity is not being welcomed, knowing like some of the things that you may catch up on or the person going to bat for you. Because my client that got on with Yahoo, he was telling me also like he performed well too, but it was I think a black guy that was like an interview panel with him. He really fought hard to like bring him on one because he knew he could do the job too. He's like, because we need more on the team as well. So
that is a big thing that you don't see all the time, and it could be a reason why sometimes you didn't get the nod. Not to say you didn't get the nod because you were black, but it's like nobody was there to advocate
on your feelings, yeah,
and to say, hey, like, this team does look a little biased. You got a lot of diversity gaps here.
I think that I think I've only interviewed with one black person, and I think she was the reason why I got the job. I'm pretty sure. Because I was desperate at this point in time. I'm like, okay, everything I'm getting denied for. So one of the questions that I asked her, like, right off the bat before we even got started was, you know, regardless of how this goes, I would really appreciate, you know, some feedback, because I've been interviewing and not getting feedback isn't helping me get better. And we kind of talked about that for a couple of minutes. And that, honestly, I was feeling a little bit discouraged. So I don't feel like I did not put forth my best foot, but I don't feel like I gave it all my all, but I still ended up with the job because I was just kind of burnt out at that point in time. But I do feel like her seeing kind of me really trying and probably her being able to relate to being in that a situation like that, because she's black, I feel like that worked in my favor during that interview.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Now, I'm gonna touch on some of these topics, and then we're going to move on. One of the things that says interviewing can be a difficult skill to master, which I agree. It can take a while before you can get, first of all, if you are at least a decent interviewer, it could take a while for you to finally get into that mode of becoming a better interviewer. With that being said, if you're not just a good interviewer at all, you don't know how to sell yourself and all these other things, it's probably going to take you a while until you get some professional help to just listen to how you sound and communicate. That's a big thing. And I got tricks. Listen, just sign up for the group coaching and you're going to get a lot of game on how to interview better, how to also leverage AI to interview better on questions that you struggle with. So click the link in the bio. And actually, matter of fact, I'm going to have the grouping thing directly out there for you guys. Wow, my new site is almost done, too. I'm moving to Kajabi, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I'll show you how it looks. It looks very nice. And I just got a few more things to fix, and then I'll probably just start running with that and add stuff as I go. He said, I don't have any illusions about my own weaknesses. He said, I try to get feedback, learn, and correct. And that's the thing. You probably rarely get feedback. A lot of big companies don't give feedback. Yep. You'll luck up if you know a recruiter that works there, and they go read what the people said about you. And sometimes that sucks, too, because maybe one role went for you, and then you try to apply the other roles, and then just maybe you didn't do good at all, and you just start getting denied for everything. Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, we already know this. Referrals and recruiters can help land interviews. Let me see if we got something in anything in there that's spicy.
This video is being sponsored by Textual Consulting. Are you still struggling to get into cybersecurity? Are you not getting interviews? Do you have a bad resume? Or is it all of the above? Well, if that's you, then we got you covered at Textual Consulting. My name is Henry Davis. I'm a career coach and a cybersecurity professional, and I've helped hundreds, maybe even thousands of people get into cybersecurity with my coaching and my content that you've seen in various places. Now, I specialize in specifically getting people in the blue team, that would be incident response or SOC analysts. I can cover everything from your entry level to your medium to your advanced skills and really help you outperform your resume. You don't believe me? Check out some of these testimonials that I've had from recent clients. If you're interested, click the link in my bio, textualconsulting.com/offerings, to see what offerings that we have available for you. Now, back to the show.
Okay, that's the end of the article, but I did want to point that out. Like, one of the main things why people are feeling the way is, and I said this, like, hey, people who are here post-2020 are pretty much still doing good because they got the skills to pay the bills. Some of the people who didn't get the skills to pay the bills are doing bad right now, and they either keep getting laid off or having hard times finding something. So if that is you, find some help from a person that has been in the field of whatever role you want to get into and try to network with them, maybe get some feedback from them. Like we were talking about the guy's resume earlier, like a skill set, like a network. It's a multitude of things.
Yep. I agree. I like that they took the time to really get to know his story throughout that article. All right, so next I have a Reddit post that I really wanted to read. It is titled F Cybersecurity. It says, let me reiterate F the bureaucratic process of cybersecurity jobs. I had so much fun learning how networking works, how packets are sent across the network, different types of protocols, different types of tools to detect attackers, different methods to attack systems. But now I am at a point where I am just questioning myself. Why the F am I begging to protect someone's assets that I don't even care about as if it were some kind of blessing from the skies? 10 years of experience require a security clearance, unrealistic expectations, extensive experience in 300 tools just for what? Sitting on your computer, reading log files, and clearing useless alerts. Not all positions, I get it. Like, come on. I'm starting to think that there is no point in the mission of safeguarding these assets. With these unrealistic expectations, it's almost as if they don't want them to be safeguarded in the first place. You know what? Let the breaches occur. I don't care anymore. LOL. Threat actors are living the life, actually using the skills they are learning to their own monetary benefits, as opposed to us cybersecurity professionals who have to beg the big boss for a paycheck and show that we are worthy at first place to even be considered for the so glorious position of protecting someone's money-making assets. I like that. And I also thought...
Sounds like something Lee wrote.
I like it. And I think that it does pose that question. There are countries where people get convicted of technical crimes and they are not sent to jail per se. They are taught how to utilize those skills to help advance wherever they are at. And so I feel like that happens in the U.S. too. You know, someone, they can't figure out how that got done. They don't want you to teach them or whatever the case may be. But more often than not over here, when you do harm, you're not rewarded, quote unquote, in that way. But I like the take that he had. I really appreciated the vulnerableness that he presented, because a lot of people feel like that. A lot of people are struggling. A lot of people feel like the expectations are crazy. It's too much politics. All I want to do is get in here, learn, and help you, help the company, you know, do whatever our goal is. And so I feel like a lot of people can relate, especially today, especially people who've been laid off, people who just graduated, got a job, and then got laid off, because that makes it harder for you. And those are the people that my heart hurts for, because the people who have industry experience, you already have the experience. You just have to land the role. But these people who just graduated and started and been working at a company for a year or less than a year, and they got laid off, they no longer qualify for recent grad roles because they're not a recent grad anymore. And so being able to be ushered into a company that way is a lot easier, as opposed to you being expected to have those 10 years of experience.
Right. So I know, like, what some companies tend to do, if it's no longer early grad, they do a program called like early career.
Yep.
So Sometimes they can qualify for that. But it just goes back to, well, for one, how my analogy is that if you are going to be in cybersecurity and you're defending, in the fight, sometimes the defensive fighter has to be better than the offensive fighter, because you have to be able to predict what they're going to do next and dodge it. So that's kind of like where it comes into detecting and responding and all that good stuff. But secondly, this shows you like the way that most people try to tell you to learn how to get in cybersecurity doesn't really have one size fit all. And that is why, as much as cool it is to know stuff, it's more important to know people.
Immediately, yes.
That's the more important thing, to know people. People that actually have some type of rank at a company, people that are connected with some managers or CISOs, recruiters, people that can go to bat for you.
Yep.
If they do good work, they can vouch for your character. And that's one of the ways that you can equalize versus trying to stick out in a sea of 1,000, 2,000 applicants. That's hard to do. On top of, some companies are looking for unicorns. Actually, like I gotta say this all the time, y'all probably heard me say this many times. When I'm reached out to by a recruiter, I'll be like, what the hiring manager really looking for? Because I don't care what's on the description.
That description is HR. That's the HR talking, not the hiring manager, not the team that needs you. That is a legality that they have to put. Like, yeah, we talked about last pod, them job descriptions don't even be giving you an accurate representation or understanding of what you'll actually be doing. It's all talk up here, too high up, not down here on what you'll actually be doing. So that is important.
You ever seen that meme? It was like the job interview and then the job. And it's like the, it was like all these different applications and stuff for the job. And then the job was actually just Excel.
Exactly.
And that's why when I had the back and forth with the guy in the comments that time, I was like, it's not the fact that cybersecurity is an entry level. It's the fact that it actually could be entry level if they wanted it to be. Because there are jobs you could teach somebody how to do with 3 to 6 months and they could do it. Yep. And that's what I'm saying. Why don't we treat it like a trade? Because it's no money in treating it like it's a trade. It's more money into go do this boot camp, go do this, go learn these services, go get all these stuff, and now you're ready. But you're not ready because you still didn't learn anything while doing that because you're learning so many different things.
Yeah.
So I definitely agree with them. Hopefully that the person who wrote that, they found something. And
I know, man.
I want to touch on this before we get into some of the funny reactionary content. Actually, two things. I put it right here. So I had a comment, and Aria had posted it too. So we go back to AD. AD was like, my coworker is taking a job interview call for another company during our meeting, but his mic isn't muted.
Oh my God, that is so embarrassing.
And that tweet blew up. She got almost a million views on his tweet.
My God, I wonder, did he get fired?
Good question. After he's done, look at these pictures. what she says. She says,
oh my God, I would be mortified.
She said, our senior managers on the call? She was like, they were. You can't kick them out of Zoom or something unless it's Teams. I think Zoom, she click on the X and they'll remove the person. So yeah,
they weren't even trying to mute bro Mike. They was probably trying to hear. Dang. He obviously was not on his phone because he was interviewing. So he obviously.
That's crazy.
Interviewing during a meeting is crazy, first of all.
Bro, what just if say you gotta take lunch. On. Just say yeah. You gotta take lunch.
What if you got called on or something?
It's a thing about like doing too much. This is a example of having too much dip on your chip.
That's a lot of dip on your chip. A lot. A
lot of Rotel.
A lot.
You had too much Rotel on the chip, partner. So to rectify that, you block the time off. You go do your interview, whether you got to go sit in the car or somewhere else, and you should be good to go. But if that ain't the case, don't interview. You don't want to run into that to where, hey.
Yeah, now your job could potentially be on the line for something that isn't even set in stone.
Like theater law, you say, let me holler at your player. They put you in a one-on-one and they might. Well, yeah, I'm not going to lie. One of the things that is a little tricky about working at a job, when the company starts taking you for granted, but then they see other companies are interested in you, they may say, you thinking about leaving?
They might.
And then he's like, yeah, I ain't getting paid or whatever, and this and that. And they might give you a raise. So, I mean, it's a catch-22. So you just never know. But I want to highlight that because I thought that was pretty funny and a simple story. But I want to briefly talk about this. It's like fraudsters in prison for scamming Apple out of 6,000 iPhones.
I seen that.
Two Chinese nationals were sentenced to prison for scamming Apple out of more than $2.5 million after exchanging over 6,000 counterfeit iPhones for authentic ones. That's crazy. I'm trying to see how did they finesse that. Between July 2017 and December 2019, I don't know how to say that, Ocean Sun and Ping Fei Zhu. I don't know. I sound like Shannon Sharp the other day trying to say the kicker name from the Falcons. And their co-conspirators, Wen Jin Gao and Dian Lu, exploited Apple's device replacement policy to replace non-functioning fake iPhones for genuine devices. The goal was to unjustly enrich themselves by fraudulently obtaining authentic iPhones from Apple after submitting inauthentic iPhones to Apple for repair and replacement. The counterfeit iPhones were shipped from Hong Kong to commercial mail, receiving the agency CMRA to UPS. To open these mailboxes, they used the actual university identification cards and driver's license. As discovered by the investigators, they submitted these fake iPhones with spoof IMEIs and serial numbers to Apple retail stores and Apple authorized service providers. So my thing is, I guess, how did they get these? Because technically, they're supposed to be an Apple system for it to work.
That was my first question. Is Apple not doing their due diligence?
Or maybe some people had their information on the dark web and they got it or something.
That could be.
Apple sent them replacement iPhones via private and commercial interstate carriers, including FedEx, DLH, and UPS. The devices were then shipped back to Hong Kong where they were sold, and the proceeds were shared amongst the conspirators. Their return fraud scheme was possible because Apple customers can return faulty iPhones via mail at Apple retail stores or through Apple authorized service providers and exchange them for new ones. within 1 year of purchase under the company's warranty service and handset replacement program. Members of the conspiracy submitted more than 6,000 inauthentic phones to Apple during the conspiracy, causing a loss of more than $2.5 million. Apple said, we want that back in blood.
Okay.
Sun and Zhu were arrested by U.S. postal inspectors in December 2019 and were both convicted of mail fraud and conspiracy to commit mail fraud in February. Sun was sentenced to 57 months in prison and 3 years of supervised release, while Zhu received a 54-month prison sentence followed by 3 years of supervised release. The court also ordered them to pay Apple $1,072,200 and $397,800 in restitution, respectively.
I would rather do more time. I'm not even going to lie. I would rather do more years than you put that up on me. But that time that they serving is not, that's nothing. 3 years, 6 years, 3 years in, it's not even going to be 3 years full time served. And then 3 years probation. Come on. For them, that was worth it.
Right. And now, let's talk about this one. I think the people found this funny.
You work for cybersecurity.
I didn't tell you where I work for cybersecurity. All you need to know is cybersecurity. That's it.
Yeah, you lost prevention at Ross. You ain't got the type of attitude to cybersecurity. You lost prevention person. I don't think she worked for cybersecurity.
Let me know that girl doing cybersecurity.
I want to know what her role is.
You lost prevention
at Ross. I'm going to have to watch the 20V1 too. Just because that's funny. But We got a couple of TikToks that y'all, like, I know you put some on here first, so I want to give you the liberty of picking what you wanted to.
I like Getting Fired with Love, because, you know, I like that type of stuff. I like that one.
Okay, let's get it.
So, I have news that I want to share with you.
For context, it says, I got laid off today.
So,
It's a girl looking at the computer, and for context, it says, I got laid off today.
I have the video on there.
Oh, cool. Cool.
I have news that I don't want to share with you, but I have to.
Okay, I'm prepared.
And this is why I was telling you yesterday all the things that I said, which 100% are true. I am so proud of you and the work that you've done. As part of a company-wide restructure, we have to eliminate certain roles, and unfortunately, your role has been affected. Really, really enjoyed working with you, and like I've said 100 million times, I feel like a proud mom, like seeing you blossom and turn into this wonderful, wonderful teammate has been nothing short of a true pleasure.
I don't ever look at things like this as like it's happening to me; it's more so happening for me.
Yeah. So again, I'm sorry. I know you're an optimistic person, so it's Alex. I'm sorry.
It's all a part of the process. Good to me. I've learned so much. Obviously, like I'm sad to like part ways with the people that I met here, but I don't necessarily have to part ways. I can still talk to them. This might just be that final step that God's like, okay, you're gonna go all in. You need to go all in. Thank you. I really do appreciate you. Thank you. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
She signed it.
So,
I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little skeptical
of
if this being real or not.
Why?
Look what she got on.
That's the first thing I said too. I'm like, well, maybe they can't. But even that's a lot of chest.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a lot of chest. Even no matter how you crop it, that's still a lot of chest.
So I'm like, was she on camera or is this her friend calling? Because it's very easy.
And she's looking, so it looked like she was on camera.
But it's very easy for me to feel like if I say, hey, this is the script. We finna do a script. I got laid off. Like, I don't like to feel like, I ain't gonna lie. The reason why I feel like a lot of cap is happening because it's, say, Atlanta.
I didn't click on her page or anything.
And Atlanta, they be scamming. I'm not gonna click on it either. I'll probably do some due diligence. I'll walk it back if I find out. I don't feel like coming in right now and arguing people and say, man, you ain't really get fired. Stop lying. But if it was real, maybe she... I don't know, because I've been looking the whole time, like, what does she have on?
When I said the same thing, I was like, that's a lot of cleavage, but maybe her camera was off. But it looked like there was a direct connection in the conversation.
Yeah, but at least she didn't say, let me see, hit more. So at least she didn't say, I guess, what company it allegedly is. So she possibly could be okay with this, because it took the cloud for a girl It took her a while to find another role because of, like, people knew she got fired from Cloudflare. Yeah,
that I remember we talked about that. We actually did it on the pod, yeah.
So I'm like, eh, so what?
I think that, well, if it's real, I have a lot of respect for the manager. You can tell that the manager is a person and she wasn't just treating her like another number. That actually hurt her to let her go. What I don't like about it, though, is that I'm thinking about me as the manager. What if I was being, you know, too cool with you and you recording me and now I'm at risk? So
I don't think that's an issue.
Why?
What's wrong with that? She's a people manager.
Well, I'm like, what if she said something that maybe she shouldn't have said to her and she was trying to show love and, you know?
Yeah. But I would, if that's the case, then she needs to quit too, because I didn't see nothing wrong with her approach.
Well, I mean, she could have cropped it out, but I'm just saying that's the risk that you put people at recording them, you know, mm-hmm. in situations like that. That is prevalent today, and it's a little bit concerning. Yeah,
I'm definitely going to go back on her page to see if this is real, because I'm like, they'd be like, that's how you be dressing when you work from home?
I should have looked at the comments, because I'm sure somebody said that in the comments. I'm sure someone said that.
Right. This is a popular topic that people like to talk about right here. And it's about why you were ghosted.
I have something to confess. I was a recruiter for a really long time. And yes, I ghosted candidates. And I want to explain why I ghosted candidates. Mostly because I was a lazy recruiter. I was lazy and I would get overwhelmed. But I was only ghosting the candidates that weren't going to get hired. I know that doesn't make it any better, but here's how to make sure you're not getting ghosted by recruiters. A lot of people think of the call with the recruiter as just something that you have to get out of the way in order to talk to the hiring manager. But in reality, the recruiter is the person who's pitching you to the hiring manager. So the recruiter isn't bought into you. Guess what? You're not getting pitched to the hiring manager. How do you make sure that the recruiter buys into you? First, you have to make sure that you're relevant. You have the relevant experience that's needed for the job. That's first and foremost. Second is when you're talking to that recruiter, talk to them like they're a human being. Don't talk to them like they're a waste of time. Don't talk to them like they're the hiring manager's help. Okay. Because I used to get that all the time. Talk to them like they're an actual person. Okay. That's the first thing. Because when a recruiter likes you, they are more likely to go out of their way to help you find that. You're preparing for the call with the recruiters. So they're going to ask you these really basic questions like, tell me about yourself. Tell me about your most recent position. What are the softwares that you're looking for? Comp. When you're answering those questions, make sure you practice them, because the recruiter call you should be practicing for as well. And this is also not the time to play games. Don't be playing games with the recruiter. Again, if they're calling you up and they're like, hey, what salary are you looking for? And you're like, I don't want to answer that question. Okay, bye. I have literally 1,000 other applicants I could talk to. Treat the hiring process like the recruiter is your friend. Think of the recruiter as your talent agent and treat it as such. I have something to confess. I was a recruiter.
I like that.
Yeah, I think she used to work at Meta or something. But yeah, that's why we go through in the calls, everything, like working on that pitch. Like when they say, I got screening coming, I say, all right, boom. I want you to record your, tell me about yourself, and I want to hear it. I just want to hear how you sound. Because it's like everything. I'm like, look, this is the first time. It's like your first impression, your first date.
Yeah.
Don't ramble too much. Kind of talk about stuff, but in a way, like, also, like, I think the thing that people struggle with is knowing how to brag on themselves.
I don't. No more. I used to.
Just get your brag sheet and just talk about.
I used to, yeah. But once you, because you know I teach, so I'm teaching my students to do the same things because I wasn't doing it before. Mm-hmm. So it's different for me now. But I was, before, when someone used to say, tell me about yourself, I used to be like, well, where do I go with that? Yeah.
Yeah, I keep it simple. I was like, you know, start about introducing yourself, how many years of experience, what you do, what you do on a day-to-day, why did you decide to apply for the role?
Yep.
Kind of simple stuff. And then they say, okay, what kind of skills do you have? How much experience do you have in X? And that's what they say, oh, well, I use this or I do that. And that's how you get there. And normally, you can kind of tell sometimes when you might be like a really good applicant for the hiring manager, because the recruiter is like sometimes really excited. Like I had a situation where we didn't get off the phone until the hiring manager got right back to the recruiter and like scheduled for that follow up interview. So if it's going like that, then that's actually a sign like a pretty good company, because they're moving quickly and they're not wasting time. So I definitely agree with that. Also, if you don't want to tell them what you're looking for, ask what the budget is for the role. And typically they'll let you. If they don't want to tell you that, then you can move on, because they're playing games. So I agree with Miss Maddie on that one. This seems like it's funny.
I think it's funny.
Okay. Is that what you want to watch?
Yeah.
I'm making like we watching Netflix or something.
Right.
I'll put your clothes back on. We're going to discuss how, if given the right opportunity, many other YES campus could actually be computer scientists, engineers, or work in cybersecurity.
Because why not?
They could. I think
they don't want to because they want the money too quick and fast.
That's not it. I think the one thing that they lack that you're supposed to have in cybersecurity is ethics.
Immediately, yes. Or
so that's the thing. Because it's like, think about it. It's like, we all know some stuff we could do, but we don't because of ethics. Whereas they would do it because they know they can get away with it. Because, like, for example, I can see, like, people's messages and emails and stuff, but I don't go through and look through that.
I don't think that, it's cybersecurity is more of a thing now, but I don't think they even understand what they know and where they could go doing it in a legitimate way.
I think that too.
Yeah, like,
but that's the hard thing is, like, when you go back, it's like, well, I was making all this. Like, why do I got to go do it this way when I know I could do this? Yeah. So you typically see this work.
And it's always going to be a morals thing, like you said, yeah.
You typically see this work out good for people that do bug bounty, though, and stuff like that. Just get to that. That's why, like, I love my episodes with Xavier where he's talking about, like, hacking the MacBook at the hackathon. Saying, I bet I can hack it. And getting a job just from hacking the thing at the hackathon. I was supposed to say Macathon. But so there are instances like that. Like, so for scammers, I definitely would see them working maybe more red team, maybe, or blue. I don't know. Maybe getting into phishing.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing a whole bunch
phishing
of...
Phishing, for sure. For
they're
sure.
Getting into a whole lot of stuff. When the incident happens right before the weekend...
That one's really quick. It's quicker than the last one.
Let me see. This is one that I was talking about earlier that we want them to watch real quick.
There are people less qualified than you who would bring less value to a job than you would bring, but will get more jobs and more opportunities than you because they can communicate the value that they do bring better than you can communicate the value that you bring. They can tell their story. A job search is a storytelling effort. And most people, when they think about telling their career story, they actually think about telling their career log. If someone says, tell me about yourself, and you respond, well, I spent the first 6 years of my career in finance, and I started as an analyst, and then I worked my way up, you're not communicating much value, and they'll probably pretty quickly tune you out. Rather than just giving a time log of your career, you want to think of 1 to 3 adjectives or descriptions of yourself and build your story around those. So if someone says, tell me about yourself, you can say, I am dependable. Throughout my career, I've been that person that leadership gives a project to, and then they forget about it because they know it's going to get done. I'm innovative. At my last job, I came up with a brand new system of triaging support tickets, and it doubled the amount of tickets one support agent could get through in a week. Figure out the 1 to 3 things that make you valuable.
That's actually good advice.
And when you're looking for a job, anytime you get to pitch yourself to somebody, whether it's through a resume or through an interview, make sure you sear those things onto their brain so that it's crystal clear the value that you could bring. There are people less...
I agree.
That's fine. Because some people, when you are in an interview and they say, tell me about yourself, they start telling you, like, I was born and raised, and they're not prepared. They don't know.
One of my clients used to do that, and I'd be like, listen, if they don't ask you where you're from, don't tell them. But I actually do like that. I think the problem they run into for some people is that people are less experienced. They don't have enough stories.
Exactly.
So if you don't have enough stories, kind of just keep it very simple to the point, and then kind of talk about like skill set and what you do. But if you are an experienced person, try this method out and see how it helps you stand out when you're interviewing. So that's pretty cool. That's definitely a dope one. I know you said you want to watch the incident one.
We don't have to. It's quick. I don't know. We can. It's really quick.
Yeah, all these are like quick. They're not long. Oh, that's facts.
That makes me think of like Log4j and just all kind of crazy stuff that was going on, and it was like on the later half of the week when you want to relax and you can't, and you got to get it fixed over the weekend.
Yeah, my only one feeling like that was WannaCry, and like I remember I looked at so many IP addresses one time. We used to do like. The Panama schedule, we used to write like 3 or 4 days and then be off like 3 or 4 days. I threw my laptop. I ain't look at no type of numbers for a while. I said, I don't want to see another number.
Have you been mandated to assist with some type of recovery effort over the weekend for something big that has happened?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. Only when I'm on call.
Do you feel like that would be something you would be looking forward to, or do you feel like you would kind of feel overwhelmed?
I look forward to it because that's what you sign up for. And two, it's not an everyday thing. Yeah. It's one of them things like, hey, you know, they wouldn't be asking if they didn't need me to do it. So it's one of those things. I get asked that like a lot about stuff, especially when I guess some people got a problem working on call.
I don't.
Me either.
You might not need me.
Right. I think this is the last one right here.
Less qualified.
I'm going to ruffle some feathers saying this, but it needs to be said. It is a manager's responsibility to develop, train, and coach your team. And if you are not willing to put in the time and effort for that, do not become a manager. A big part of this problem is for many organizations, the next step up in your career is to become a people manager, but that is not suited to everyone. We need to talk about this more commonly, and we need to have more career progression opportunities because poor people management can have a detrimental impact on someone's career progression and their mental and physical state. I'm going to ruffle some feathers saying this, but it needs to be said.
That's very true. I've had terrible managers, not in tech, but outside of tech, horrible, terrible, horrible, horrible. And that starts, luckily the team was cool enough to where the manager didn't matter per se. We still have fun, but you do have management who will make you quit, who will make you sick, who will make you need to take time off and away from work because of their toxic habits and characteristics?
No, I agree. Basically, real big on the developmental part. Sometimes you're not developing anybody. You don't know how to get the most out of your team. You, when you're meeting with them, you're never putting the onus back on them. Like, hey, what do you want to do? Or what do you envision for your career?
Or even a one-size-fits-all approach that doesn't work. Everybody doesn't like everything the same. Everybody doesn't like to be, acknowledged for their good efforts in the same way. Some people don't like public acknowledgement. Some people prefer to stay in the back, even though they're excelling and being, a superstar. So everybody's not the same. And I feel like a lot of the time, leadership will try to put everyone in the same bucket and kind of maneuver or work with people in the same way, but you can't do that.
Yeah. So if you do find that happening to you and you don't see, that's where sometimes where your stagnation can come. You could possibly look and maybe to try to get on another team, or that's a lot of times when somebody decides that they're getting ready to leave a company because they're not getting what they need.
I've done that. Now I'll do it again. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I'm not going to get into the article, but I will be saying this for my YouTube users that upload YouTube shorts. October 15th, YouTube will now extend shorts length to at least 3 minutes. So now it'll be like TikTok, so it's going to be in the shorts feed, and that should help out with the watch time. Because right now, if it's over 60 seconds, then it counts as a regular video, and it's not the same because you can't make thumbnails for it and all the other BS stuff that happens with shorts.
Instagram needs to do it, too. Thank you.
Yeah, they do.
The whole time, I thought I uploaded a four-minute video, and it was a minute and 12 seconds.
Yeah, I look at that before. So it's not
mad this morning when I realized that. That's why I had to post it on my story, full story.
Exactly. But, when it comes to that I was going to say.
TikTok is the best at that. TikTok is the best option.
You can upload whole videos on X. Like, I think I'm about to start trying to see if I can upload. No, you can do whole podcast videos.
Really?
I'm going to start uploading that and see how that works for the growth of the show.
Yeah.
And see how that works. But now last time you was a little mum on, your favorite movie or something. You know, I used to talk about funny enough, when we were at the place Cheeky Monkey Sunday, Chelsea was we was doing something and we was up there playing with Natalie, so she's talking about just keep swimming. I was like, what you doing watching Finding Nemo? And I only knew that from you because you talking about Just Keep Swimming. I was like,
yes.
I'm gonna have to watch that now because I tried to watch it with the girls at one time. They didn't like it, but I think wouldn't they like it when they were younger, their attention span and pain and stuff? It was not good, but now they'll sit down and actually like watch stuff. Like, I can tell you how many times I've watched Inside Out the last couple of weeks.
I heard it was so good. I still haven't seen. Is it two, right? It's two, right?
It's two. Yeah. The first one and the second one. Yeah, Natalie loves it.
So it's worth the watch. Yeah. I just saw a TikTok the other day of someone saying the way that they explain the emotions is adults aren't even able to explain their emotions in that way. Yeah.
For sure. For sure. There's a joy is the star of the show.
Anger.
The red. Everybody like anger.
Yeah.
Anger is red. It's a lot.
And anxiety too, right?
You got anxiety. Yeah. You got sadness. You got a lot of
sadness is all like relax in the face.
You got a lot of them on there. For me, what movies was I watching recently? I think I said I was watching like Problem Child and like just laughing at like how bad Big Ben or Junior was. Like laughing at the dude that was in jail, thought he was writing to somebody named JR, but he was actually Junior. So when he got out, he was like, this dude's a kid. And all the different stuff. And Big Ben and then number two, where, man, they was doing some crazy stuff. Shot the boy with the water hose, put the roaches in the food. I know you were the queen, so that part right there.
Mm-hmm.
They, what else did they do that was funny? Doing stuff at the what's it called? They had like a little puppet show where they were back there like doing stupid stuff to the puppets. It's oh no. That dude was bad. I think I put Junior over Dennis the Menace.
Really? I don't think I seen Junior.
But you never seen Problem Child? Are you serious? It used to come on a lot back in the day, like on USA or TNT. Nope. Man, nah, Junior, when you watch him, like, yeah, Junior is bad.
Dennis was bad too though.
Dennis was bad.
Dennis was aggravating. He wasn't even honestly, he wasn't bad. He was bored. And he was aggravated.
Yeah, Dennis was doing stuff a kid does.
He was definitely,
and it was innocent,
yeah.
Innocently doing stuff to Mr. Wilson. Junior
is maliciously.
Knowingly was doing stuff.
And willingly.
Like replacing the lemonade the girls were selling with urine. And the man drunk.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, that's not mischievous.
And
that's
he did,
terrible.
Like, they was being mean to him at a birthday party, so he went and put a sprinkler in the room, and he did some, like, Junior is something, like,
He's going to jail.
He's something else. I don't know where he is now. I don't got like, I'm trying to see what have I been watching that got like any type of phrase or something that I could think of recently. I guess because I hadn't really been watching my movies or something like that. I know what I'll say. A lot of people have not seen this movie. But if you can guess the name, I'm not going to say the name of the movie, but if you can guess where this phrase comes from, I'll give you like a free consult. But it's this movie I like about a cowboy, and they have a Mustang that is really fast, and so they go to this Middle Eastern race, this big race, the race for a lot of money. And he has this phrase he says, and this means it's ready to go time. He say, let her buck. So if anybody say let her buck, that means it's time to get active. And he finds out that he is a part indigenous American. And does the freaking, you know, little dances and stuff they do and heals the horse or whatever. And they win the race. It's a short Cliff Notes version. It's much more stuff. And it's much more interesting. And that's like one of my dad and I's favorite movies to watch. And I bought it. So he ain't going to know what he's watching, but me and Josh definitely going to watch it. Because he'd be up with me watching that type of stuff. But yeah, man, I'll just tell y'all a little book. It's October. Companies are still hiring. I'm going to reiterate it. If you need help, you know what to do. We got a lot of free games today.
A lot of recent grad stuff is out right now, too. A lot. So,
to those of you that are just started school, start looking for your internships. You never know. Like, you don't have to be the most accomplished intern. Like, they're looking for people with some people, like, zero experience.
Yep.
Just an intern. And I'm working on, like, I'm giving my little brother one, but I'm working on, like, just a template for y'all to use, like, in school to help y'all out as well. So that's all y'all really need, and just apply. Like, don't worry about the location. That'll work itself out, and really just go from there.
I'm going to say what's on my mind, it's been on my mind all day, is the line, I built this beep brick by brick, and I feel like that for myself, but I want y'all who are trying to break into the industry to feel like that. I need you to be hype. I need you to be ready. I need you to feel like you're building yourself up brick by brick, because you are. And you have to if you want to, you know, get in the field and live the quote unquote tech life, you know, that you see on social media. So if you're struggling, you're going through your homework, you're frustrated, keep telling yourself that I built this brick by brick. Tell yourself that you'll make it through.
Right. And I'm trying to, here it is. So I've been forgetting to read this man thing. All right, guys. So this is part of the show and we're probably going to end it on this. This guy, yeah, his name is Jalen. Here's his questions. He says, I have been a police officer in Southern California for about a year now, and although the job is fun and can be rewarding at times, I'm not sure how well it aligns with my long-term aspirations as far as starting a family and having a better work-life balance. I'm relatively young at 24 years old. Yeah, you're a whippersnapper. And currently hold a bachelor's degree in sociology. I plan on working as a police officer for the next 3 to 5 years while I grow my experience and build a solid resume in the IT cybersecurity field. Due to the fact I currently work 3 12-hour night shifts a week, I'm not opposed to getting a second bachelor's degree online or even a master's degree to gain a solid foundation and make myself more employable. Time and resources would not be a problem because I could likely get partial tuition reinstatement from my department. As I previously stated, I'm not in a rush to change fields and plan on using the next 3 to 5 years to build a solid enough resume to land a job at or around my current salary, $85K. Any guidance or advice would greatly help my situation and would be greatly appreciated. Keep up the great work and thank you for being inspiration to so many people.
Well, my degree is in criminal justice, and I feel like in a way it kind of relates to tech, because criminal justice, you're protecting whoever you're protecting, a company, a person, whatever. Criminal justice is broad, kids, doesn't matter. But I feel like a lot of the stuff, not necessarily the way that I think as someone who was studying criminal justice, I feel like it's helped me. It's been more of a help to me working in cybersecurity than it has been harmful to me. I would say the first thing that kind of came to mind for me, it depends on what can you get exposed to. Are you able to work on any cases where you can investigate any cyber-related incidents? Is there some stalking going on? Things like that. I don't know. I'm just throwing suggestions and ideas out there. But I immediately think about what you can do in your current role. Is there an IT person that you can, you know, kind of gain some experience from? You guys have access and profiles and things like that. So who's maintaining that? Can you kind of link with them and understand what their day-to-day is like, or what that coverage looks like, or who's the admin over the police department, or is it over the county, you know? So really honing in and working with what you got. But also I feel like as a police officer, something you're focused in on is risk. So GRC might be something that you could more easily transition your transferable skills to. Those are the top two right off the bat. It's not giving pen testing, for example, unless you're able to find someone in the department who maybe is doing that, which I highly doubt. But work with what you got and the people that are there and pull from there, and also be vocal about what you're interested in, because you don't know. They might not even really, I know this sounds bad, but focus on those cases because they don't have anyone who has the skill set to dive into those cases. So,
yeah, so I would say, and this is why I've been trying to get freaking, what's my boy name, man? Bryant Witcher. I've been trying to get him on the show for the longest because he transferred from being a cop, I think, for like 9 years. Oh, wow. Now he's in cybersecurity. And so, yes, while I think a degree can help, I think what will also help you is just getting a lot of practical experience. I'm pretty sure they have IT for the police department. So one of the things you can do, and they probably got people that do forensics and all these other things, is network with those guys and learn what they do.
Forensics would be bomb. Because they definitely have that there. Mm-hmm. They absolutely
And that's
do.
A better way to probably just stay in the same thing, but just do something that's less demanding where you're not getting shot at. You literally just handling cases.
I think it'd be dope for you to, before you decide to go back to school, poke around at what's available so that you can be like, I don't like that. I'm a little bit interested in that, so that you have more of an idea as to how to cultivate your vision for your future.
Yeah, I agree. And also I would say start networking. You're 24, so you're in an area, I think you're in the West Coast, where there's probably like a lot of support. for you to do stuff. And I would say, do not discount your sociology degree. It's a lot of people from sociology and psychology that come to cyber and do well, because think about it. The biggest thing that helps you in detection engineering is the philosophy of understanding an attacker, understanding human characteristics. That's the reason why attackers are so good. They say, hey, I know if I put this on here, hey, click this now or your phone will be wiped or your VPN will be exposed to everybody, whatever they say. They know human nature is going to make them click it.
Yep.
So I would just say use the things that you know and that you've learned, and I think you'll have a good shot in probably doing it before 3 to 5 years. And,
honestly.
And
sure.
Making especially more than an amount, possibly, too. Because you got to transfer up skills,
amount.
Too.
Definitely more than the amount. And you're in, I think you said California, right?
Yeah, look into Threat Intel, too.
You're in a tech hub, so get out and go to some networking events and meet some people and start making friends and connections to talk to different people to see what they're doing and how they got started. Because everyone has a unique story as to how they got started in the industry.
Yep, I agree. But with that being said, we are going to end the show for today. I appreciate everybody that's been tuning in. And those of you that have been subscribed to the Patreon, keep on subscribing to the Patreon. We're finna take this thing, like I've been putting on X, I'm like, hey, we taking the pod to another level. And as you can see, that's what we're doing. And we're going to keep on going up. So I appreciate everybody that's been rocking with us. And until next week, and until next time, let's stay textual and we out. Peace.